Welcome to KMXT's Talk of the Rock, our local community affairs program, where we explore issues and organizations related to our community. Talk of the Rock is hosted by members of the KMXT news team.
Well, welcome to Talk of the Rock. I am your host for the day, Jared Griffin. I'm commandeering Talk of the Rock to talk about some college stuff with some of my colleagues there at the college. I am joined today by Thea Falcone, assistant professor of sociology and self-proclaimed data nerd, and Lorraine Stewart, program chair of the career and technical education. And we might be joined later, hopefully by Barb Brown, our academic advisor. So let me start off today's discussion with the spring semester just ended last week for Kodiak College. How did that end up working out for you? Let's start with Lorraine, because I think a lot of people are interested in your classes, the welding classes, for instance, that need that on-campus presence. How did the rest of your spring semester shake out?
So for us, the spring semester was quite the rolling disaster. We were doing really well until COVID struck, unfortunately, but it prevented us from finishing the rest of the semester. So all of our students, with the exception of a few that are leaving the island, will be coming back in the fall semester to complete the class. And we've set up safeguards to make sure that can happen. So unfortunately, we have not been able to weld or be in the welding shop since the end of March of this semester. So it's been rough, but I'm looking forward to the fall. We've got some new classes coming in. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. We'll be able to have the face-to-face courses as planned, and it won't look that much different for us.
And but now, in case you know, this thing pops up again, now you have a kind of a plan on how to finish out the fall semester if we have to finish it out that way. But you're right, UAA has proclaimed things are going to go as normal. Yeah. For the most part.
It's my hope that we don't have a reoccurrence, because it is very challenging. There is no way to do a distance delivered welding class. They really need to be in the lab, in the booths, working with the equipment hands-on. And that's the kind of program that we want to keep in place. And so I will not attempt to modify that. That's important for them to succeed in their career choice.
Right. I read about the Dallas Community College District, and they are pretty much going all online in the fall, except they're prioritizing face-to-face classes for CTE, nursing, auto, and that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, that seems to be the trend from, I've read a few different articles about that, and that is going to be the trend that we're looking at for the fall semester.
All right, cool. And what about you, Thea? Thea, you teach like a combination of face-to-face classes, hybrid classes, distance classes. So how did this spring semester shake out for you?
Well, the only class I was teaching, you know, face-to-face solely, I thought there's no way. But we made it work. I had to rewrite some role plays to be done on the Zoom, with where they would chat to each other and negotiate that way. And it actually kind of worked. They helped me because they have a lot more experience with the technology than I do. So it ended up being okay, but I'm worried about fall because, I mean, I'm already teaching one sociology online, but the one that I teach face-to-face, I don't know how, it's like mostly role plays. And unless I can convince my grandson to work for me for free, I can't digitalize them all. But I have to get a grant and pay him or something. But yeah, that'll be hard because that's the really fun part of that class.
One of the policy changes that came down through UAA towards the end of the semester was giving instructors, giving faculty the freedom to change up their grading policy, even move to a pass-fail system. Thea, did you have to feel like you needed to change anything, or everything?
No, everything
was
great?
No,
not at all. They they were a great bunch for this to happen with. That's all I can say. They came into the semester, most of them really introverted and hardly able to talk. But the last day, they were all yappity, yappity, yappity. So, I didn't feel like I needed to change anything grade-wise. I don't, you know, that's something, I mean, I've been teaching 30 years or more than 30 years. And I think about this stuff all the time anyway. And didn't feel a need to change anything this time. I don't know what about the future, though.
Mm-hmm. Did the pandemic and the various shutdowns and hunker downs, did that affect any of your course content?
No. That's not true. But only on the side. Only because I was teaching, social institutions. We shifted completely and looked at natural disasters in rural communities. We just focused on that for the rest of the semester. And in sociology, I changed some of the questions to go with what was going on. But I like to, some of the test questions, I like them to be current events anyway. But the communications class, there was no need to change the content because it was just basic skills.
So do you
and
get
it was really fun doing the social institutions class? That was fun to switch.
Yeah, I can imagine just how even studying social institutions, how this pandemic has made us question and look at things a whole lot differently than we had in the past. Have you noticed that with your peers and colleagues? If I can ask, get your academic kind of professional take on what's happened the last 2 months as a sociologist, what do you see?
It's too early to tell for me. You know, I need at least a year to kind of get an idea of what's going on, because there's so much noise out there about what's going on.
You for sure.
To filter through it all. And a year from now, ask me that question again.
Okay. I'm putting it on my calendar right now.
Okay.
Thea, do you remember May of 2020? What was that like?
Stuck in Washington.
So for both of you, Thea and Lorraine, nothing is really, you're kind of, for fall, we're setting it up as normal. Everything is going to be, as far as we know, as of right now, everything will be back the way it was. And, you know, Kodiak College is already teaching maybe 60% of the classes online, 40% face-to-face. So it wasn't that big of a change.
I counted this up. It's closer to 75.
Okay. Oh, okay. Okay.
I know for us, of course, for the welding side of the house, there's no anticipated changes in delivery. However, the private pilot ground school, now that's a whole different story. This semester, we were far enough along in the semester that we were able to convert right away to a distance delivered. The only hiccup for that group is going to be getting their time on the flight simulator. So that's a face-to-face, hands-on component that that we cannot reproduce from a distance version, because then they don't have the credentialing that they get from the piece of equipment that we specifically have on our campus. So that is definitely something that we're going to have to work with, but that's a one-on-one instructional opportunity. So I think there is some room in there to work with putting in place some features that will allow them to be there and still be safe, maintaining that distance and not, you know, spreading anything. So with that in mind, we do anticipate looking at possibly a hybrid delivery for that. And then, yes, consistently staying the same with our welding.
And, you know, Jared, even if we go 100% online, our faculty and staff will just go all out to make sure students' needs are met. We're really good at that. And, I was glad to see that happening. Hang on. There are young people in
there. Hi, nice to meet you, ma'am.
Where
young,
were you?
Young people.
Sorry, now you're on the radio.
Yeah, now you're on the radio.
Sorry, Mom. We'll talk to you later.
It's okay, where are you going?
The beach.
Okay. Right.
Thanks, Thea. And friends, Thea and friends, everybody. What was I had a question and response. Oh, so both of you, and maybe maybe Lorraine a little bit more, kind of have your pulse on the local workforce. Lorraine, what are you hearing from your students about work and jobs and adjusting?
Well, thankfully, the students that I typically work with are those that are also going to be classified as essential workers. They're working on vehicles, they're keeping things functioning, they're fixing equipment and those types of jobs. So, you know, I haven't really heard much rumbling about folks not being able to get to work or maintain their jobs. I even had interns this semester that were working out in industry, and they continued on throughout the semester and did just fine. So I think for our area, there it's less impactful, given the nature of the industry that we're in.
Mm-hmm. I know that towards the end of the semester, UAA, we started to work on expedited occupational endorsement certificates, mm-hmm. and there's a work group put together in Anchorage to put together some new kind of quick certs and classes and programs really, really quick so that people can adjust to whatever the new work situation is. Lorraine, have you heard of any specific ones that are coming down the pike?
Well, actually, there's a lot of different things coming down the pipeline. There's a lot of different small 9, 12 credit occupational endorsements, you know, in welding and advanced welding and automotive and machining and all these different trade-based areas. That's more my area, so that's what I've been looking at. But one of the cool things that we're doing that I think will complement that very nicely is that we're working on adjusting our degree to where our two-year degree is going to look more like an interdisciplinary program where students are able to actually go out and do multiple of these stackable credentials, these 9, 12 credit, you know, small bites, and put them together into an actual degree. So the areas that we're going to focus on are definitely going to be the automotive. We're looking at construction. Again, we're looking at coming up with small certification options in welding, advanced welding, non-destructive testing. So there's lots of different areas, and I'm not opposed to having more discussions and looking at what our local workforce needs, what our state workforce needs, and how can we meet those and make sure that our students are able to complete a program and get that job that they want so that they're self-sufficient as well. And that's the end goal. So we've got a lot going on. There's a lot of different types. I think it's going to be nice and flexible and easy for students to obtain these credentials. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, hopefully we can put some financial support in place. I just read a summary of a study by the Century Foundation that analyzed all of the money that colleges and universities got from the CARES Act most recently. And the average per student that is out there is schools are getting about $270 of aid per student. And that's based on the number of full-time low-income Pell Grant recipients. But mm-hmm. they broke it down even further, and community colleges are only getting an average of $179 per student, and the four-year public university, like UAA, is getting an average of $335 per person. There's a big discrepancy there because the community colleges, your number of full-time students is going to be lower. They don't report. They don't do the FAFSA as much as other schools. So, what can get like your hot take on that, on relief for students, and what are you seeing and hearing? Like, we could start with Thea, maybe.
I'm just listening to your numbers. I haven't seen anything about that, but other things that were supposed to be paid out to the public, it's not trickling down. They're paying a central agency, and it's not coming down to people. It's a whole social injustice thing. So I would want to know how. I wouldn't want to know the guarantees that students are going to get this money. And why would? What, I don't understand why community college students. What, they don't work as hard? I don't believe that.
Well, I think it's because they're smaller. You know, they're 2-year degrees versus the 4 or 6.
Okay, but it's a one-time thing, right?
Yeah.
And they're probably using iPads to measure, which is just as ridiculous measurement, but you dragged me into this.
No, I think that's part of it too. Yeah.
I think we need to be very diligent to make sure that money trickles down from the big school to our students. Now, just put my neck on the line.
Yes.
No, you're absolutely right. And I've seen a new program that recently has been advertised for those students that have started within the university system but have never completed. There's now a new scholarship or grant opportunity for those students to come back and complete. And I wonder if that is somehow related to the CARES relief that the university has received.
Is this federal money, Jared, or state stuff?
Yeah, this is federal money.
Okay.
Is there any word? Does anybody know exactly how or what the intention is for distribution? How do they intend to use that for the university, for the campus?
Yeah.
I haven't heard. UAA got a little over $5 million, and $2.7 million of that has to be used for financial aid for students or some kind of emergency aid for students. That's the only number I've heard. I haven't heard how that's going to be, if it's going to be doled out to community campuses, or when they look at students, who are they looking at? Everybody enrolled in the UAA system, even though we have students from UAS and UAF take our classes. So how does that track? A lot of questions, and I don't even know if they've. I'm sure they have some idea, but I've always been a fan of account forgiveness, debt forgiveness, and then here's a little extra just to help you get over that hump and get that certification or get that degree. That's like the absolute best investment, I think, at this point.
I agree with you.
Absolutely.
You know, we brought in a healthcare worker here, and they were supposed to get some money for essential workers. She has to go to work no matter what. She's a CNA, and she doesn't have a choice. Or I guess she could quit her job, but she's not likely to. And then there was this money that was supposed to trickle down, and she got $100 to work an extra day at shift.
Oh, but wow.
No other money came down. So I just, and my former son-in-law works in a grocery store, got nothing.
I think we're just now seeing the, some of the program monies are being released out that I know of, the PPP program, the Paycheck Protection Program. That money is just now starting to trickle out as of end of last week, this week. So I do think there's been some delays in getting that money out. And there are definitely students that need it right now. They're not able to work or whatever their situation is. It's a struggle. And we, one thing that's nice about Kodiak College is we care about our students. When we see them suffering or we know they're suffering, it actually stresses us out because we want to do whatever we can to help them. So yeah, if they're being impacted financially by COVID and all the stuff going on, we definitely want to try to get some help and some resources to them.
Somebody will notice and sound the alarm. Yeah. I think so.
Yeah. I had after we moved online, I had a student who I noticed was turning everything in, a day late, a day after kind of the soft deadline that we had. And then I asked her about it. And then she's been, having to share a laptop with her siblings. And so we jumped into action. I contacted people at the college. We found a brand new laptop, and she came by and picked it up and, was great for the rest of the semester. So, that's what we do.
That's how we do it.
This is kind of a question for Barb Brown, but since you two are very involved with your programs and classes, you can respond to this. So I taught three classes this spring. My two face-to-face classes, when we moved online, I ended up with 100% attendance and participation and assignments turned in for the rest of the semester. But my online class went from about 16 students to 9 students.
Yeah.
I thought that was really interesting. They obviously had I talked to a few of them. They had a lot going on. Did you see any kind of trends or anomalies or precipitous drops in in classes and participation and things like that?
You know, I've noticed, I keep track of that stuff anyway, but my retention rate is usually around 90 something percent. It's high in my normal classes, but there's times in online classes when it's 70%. It's just really hard to hang on to students in that online environment. And this is a challenge for us because I think the face of education is changing and there's going to be more and more and more online stuff. So people like me who we're going to have to catch up fast and we have to figure that out. What, you know, it's across the board because I looked in other places that the attrition rate is really high for online and we got to figure out why and then fix it. I don't know why yet.
In our side of the house, you know, I can actually say we only lost one welding student. We had a few that we had to come up with alternative assignments for them to make sure that they met their funding sources requirements. But otherwise, everybody is on board to come back in the fall semester and to pick up where they left off and complete that class. So I was actually really excited about that. I think where we saw the most struggling and the most issues for our students was the private pilot ground school. That face-to-face interaction and having that support right there, that immediate support, I think is critical to their success in that class. And so I think that as we shifted to a straight online class, we dealt with a similar situation, Jared, to what your student was dealing with. We had a student who had a teacher, a mother was a teacher and had other siblings, and they were also all sharing. And so we were able to get that situation squared away with that student. But, you know, I have to say, I'm impressed with our students. They did a really good job getting through this, and they trust us, and they know that we're going to do what we say we're going to do. So I'm happy. The attrition rate was fantastic.
Following up on something you said, Lorraine, I saw a statistic this morning, a survey results. Nationwide, about 80% of high schoolers our high school seniors, saying they're still planning on attending college in the fall, which that's kind of a percentage they usually see about this time of the year, which is kind of interesting to see. The survey also noticed, though, that more students, though, will start college, but maybe won't start the college that they really want to go to, but they're going to stick closer to home for the next year, or at least for the fall semester. Are you hearing kind of the same thing from some of your students?
I am, actually. We work with the high school. We've got a great program there. Their welding program is phenomenal, and we work with Anthony Cavan quite a bit. So we've got a lot of students coming up through the dual enrollment program, and there is a lot of chatter about staying on island and getting some of those general ed requirements and things taken care of this year. And then they can move off to wherever they want to go. But we're definitely hearing a lot more feedback as far as looking at staying local.
That, and I've been seeing that as a trend on our island. Kids who are taking GERs are more and more staying, you know, it's easier to and cheaper to live at home with mom and dad and get those GERs done and then go off to somewhere else.
Well, and I think too is once they come in our doors and they start to take our classes, we get that rapport with them. And, mm-hmm. and I've seen a lot of students, their intention was to leave and they're still here and they're still coming each semester. And it's our instructors, it's our staff, it's faculty, it's everybody. And it's an experience for them and it's a good positive experience here. And I really like that.
Yeah, that's why we keep coming back too.
Yes, sir.
Well, we got about, I think it may be about two minutes left. So what is keeping you going, either personally or professionally, between the end of the spring semester and the beginning of a brand new spanking fall semester? What's keeping you going?
Thea, I'll let you go first.
Okay. I'm called to do this work, so I wouldn't not do it. I mean, even if I got fired or I retired, I would still be teaching somewhere. I'm called to do it, and I get so excited every semester with a brand new bunch of people, and kind of get attached to them a little bit, and that's why it's nice they come back. But you know, I'm going to hang out in the sun a little bit too, and pet my cats, and put in a garden, and probably spend rainy days redoing all my curriculum. So it's what I do. I can't not do it.
Yeah. And kind of same goes for me. I'm here for the students. That is what draws me to work every single day is I'm accountable to the students. When I tell them something's going to happen, it's going to happen. We're going to make it happen. And I'm not going to let them down. They don't let me down. I won't let them down. We get through this together, and each and every one coming in the door, it's a journey. It's a journey from start to finish for each and every one of them. And I'm ready, willing, and able to walk alongside them as they're going through that journey, as is every person that's on that campus, which, you know, even in my own personal college experiences, I've never had anything like that. So it's really important to me to make sure that we're there to serve them more than anything.
All right. Fantastic. And I think I'm kind of like what Thea said, I'm taking a little bit of this time to relook at my own curriculum and looking at classes, and I'll be on sabbatical in the fall, so I'll have a little bit more time to reflect on that. But I just had to throw in that little dig right there. I'm going to be on sabbatical in the fall. I'm going to miss you guys. I'm going to miss you.
Yeah, sure.
I don't think I'm going to be able to do all the traveling that I wanted to do, but...
yeah, that's a shame.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you, Thea, and thank you, Lorraine, for joining me kind of on such short notice to talk about our students and how we're still excited about what we do, and we think Kodiak College is going to be here for a really, really long time doing really, really great stuff.
I agree.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, well, thank you so much for having us. I appreciate that.
Absolutely.
Reaching out to me and then not letting me say no.
That's right. I knew you have great things to say, Thea. All right, gang. We'll talk to you later.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
This has been KMXT's Talk of the Rock, our local community affairs program. Tune in next Tuesday at 12:30 to hear more about local issues and organizations.